everyone, it's Dimna here and welcome to ILoveRealEstate.tv. I'm very excited today because I want to talk to you about something that's very topical and something that all of us really should be thinking of, and that's our future. I want to do a little bit of an exercise with everybody today, and I want you to start to think about where you are now financially. I want you to start to think about where your future lies and what possibilities you have for yourself in the future. And I'm going to step you through a few little exercises that might help with that process. So first of all, I'm going to use two hypothetical people. The first one I'm going to call Graham 1, and the second one I'm going to call Graham 2. Now, the reason I've given them the name Graham is because I was actually in Adelaide a little while back, and I had a Graham sitting in the front row, and he was a IT consultant, and I used him as an example of hypothetically, if Graham wanted this, then this is what we'd do. If Graham wanted that, then this is what, you know, he should do. So I'm going to do the same thing with you. So when I say Graham 1 or Graham 2, you've got to substitute your own name and work out, are you Graham 1 or are you Graham 2? So let me set the scene for you. First of all, Graham 1 is an IT consultant who earns $80,000 a year. Now, obviously, you might earn more than that, you might earn less than that, and you may not be an IT consultant. All of that's irrelevant. Just put your own scenario in there. I'm just working on a hypothetical person. So Graham earns $80,000 a year as an IT consultant. Now, Graham 1, he's pretty happy being an IT consultant. You know, he lives within his means. He's, you know, he imagine a family or whatever else he may or may not have is irrelevant. He's pretty happy with his job and he can see himself working in that job for at least another 5 years. But he would like to start to accumulate wealth. He'd like to, over the next, say, 5 years, build up some equity, build up some passive income so that in 5 years' time he can pull the pin. He can perhaps sell off some of his equity and reduce debt. He could live off his passive income. So Graham wants somebody who's got 5 years basically to get to a point where he can, I mean, in some people's mind they'd say retire, but I'm more in line to say he can get to a point where he can do what he chooses in life. Because retirement is such a dreary word. You know, retirement is, it means a different thing to everybody. The reality is everybody can retire within really actually at the moment quite short spaces of time. It just depends on what kind of deals you go into and really start to concentrate on that passive income rather than negative gearing, which keeps you poor forever. Anyway, my hypothetical Graham 1 has a starting position of about $250,000 in his line of credit. Now, again, some of you may have more than that and some of you will have less than that. Some of you may be listening starting with very little. But don't think just because I'm using this as an example that, oh, well, it doesn't apply to me. It absolutely does. You're just going to do things a little bit differently. So with my hypothetical Graham 1, starting with a line of credit of $250,000, likes his job, quite happy in his job, and he's got an $80,000 salary. So we've pictured Graham 1. What should he do? Well, the first thing is he can afford to concentrate on quality properties. He can afford to concentrate on properties in metro areas, in growth areas. You know, he can really get out there and concentrate on the type of deal that you'd be very, very happy to perhaps even live in some cases. But that's not really the way you should be looking at it. Graham 1 should be looking at properties that, number one, because you know how I feel about negative gearing, that are not negatively geared. They need to be at least neutral cash flow. If not neutral, positive obviously is better. So what do I mean by neutral cash flow? Basically what I mean by that is all the money coming in from rents, from the rental of the property, can be spent on the interest, on the rates, on the insurance, on the management fees on the property. So basically, it's a net zero for tax purposes. Now, notice in there I didn't say anything about depreciation, because I really don't count depreciation as being a big factor in the in the overall process of cash flow, because it's kind of like a tax deduction for not spending any money. Now, admittedly, that's nice. And if you own that property in your name, sure, you might get some offset against your current salary. But I'm not that keen on properties in my own name for starters. I think all of your properties really should be held in protected structures. But that's, you've heard me talk on that before, and that's for another day. So let's talk about owning these properties. Now, what are we looking at? We're looking at neutral geared. So it doesn't cost us any money on a real cash basis. They can be in metro areas. They can be in high growth areas. But obviously, you're going to need to start looking at a very different style of property. Design suddenly starts to become very, very important. And one of the things that you're going to have to do is start to look at how many income streams you can get from those properties. So one of the things that Graham One should be doing is looking for properties that can be made neutrally cash flowed because of the number and volume of income that comes in from those properties. He would be looking for what I call multiple income stream properties. Now, multiple income stream properties, as an example, might be a house and a granny flat that rent separately or even together but at a higher yield. It might be an upstairs-downstairs where upstairs is rented to one tenant and downstairs is rented to another. It might be a place that has been divided into a number of flats. It might be a block of units. It might be a property that has a number of bedrooms that can be rented out on a bedroom-by-bedroom basis, whether it be to singles or students or that sort of thing. All these kinds of properties are going to give you a great income stream for the value that you pay for the property. Now, sometimes you'll be buying these properties outright as they sit there, and the day you buy them, they're neutral to positively cash flowed. Or you'll be getting out there buying properties that you have to turn into this style of property. So Graham One is looking for a property, ideally, that is in a high growth area or at least in a reasonable growth area. He'll be looking for a property that is neutrally cash flowed because of the multiple income stream capacity of that property. Now, that can be done with what I call a resi-mercial, which is, part commercial, part residential. It can be done with straight commercial properties like strip shops. Now, hang on a minute. That's not actually what I meant. I meant strips of shops, not strip shops, as in a number of shops in a row. It could be an office building, with a number of offices. It could be medical suites. It could be industrial sheds in a row, that kind of stuff. So we've got that multiple income stream characteristic, if you like. Or, of course, you could stay in the residential market and pick up the blocks of units, house and a granny flat, that kind of scenario that we've talked about before. So if he were to do that, you just think about it. Think about it in your circumstance. If you were to go out and buy a property that didn't cost you any money on a week-to-week basis, for many of you, this is the most alien concept that you've ever even thought of. Because as investors, you're used to going out there and buying something that costs you money because you've been bombarded by marketeers selling you negative geared cash flow properties. And even those that sell you what they claim to be positive cash flow, it's only positive because of the depreciation, which runs out after the first year. Then if you're lucky, it might be neutral after that. And then, in 5 years' time, well, that runs out. And if rents haven't gone up, it's not going to be neutral at all. It's going to be costing you money. Well, anyway, that's another story. You know my theory on negative cash flow. It just keeps you poor. So if you're buying a property that was positively cash flowed, that put a little bit of money back in your pocket every week, but still grew in value, imagine how many of those properties you could buy every year. Now, in Graham One's scenario, if he went out there and bought properties with his $250,000. Now, some of you are going to say, but you can't buy much of a property for $250,000. No. The $250,000 is just the deposit plus the costs to get into another property. So his $250,000 would theoretically buy $1 million worth of property, which it would. But imagine if that $1 million worth of property wasn't one property, because I think that wouldn't be right either, but it was two properties or it was three properties that were all neutral to positively cash flowed. Effectively, Graham One could get out there and buy three properties in the first year and sit back and do nothing for another 5 years and still do very, very nicely out of the value of growth in those properties plus the neutral to positive cash flow that's occurring for him. But of course, that's not going to be good enough for most of you. Most of you are going to want to be a little bit more active than that. Which is why even Graham One, who really just wants to be an IT consultant, sit back, have his income coming in, have some investments happening in the side, so in 5 years' time he's got choices. Well, Graham One still needs to be continuing to build that equity portfolio so that he's able to continue to invest. Now, let's say Graham One bought properties in areas that had, say, a 7 to 10% growth profile on them. All right, if that was the case, and they were neutrally cash flowed, if that was the case, he could probably buy three in the first year. And in the second year, with the growth on those, he might be able to squeeze into one. And then with the growth on that over another year, he might be able to squeeze into another one. So that by the end of the 5 years, he'd have three in the first year and he'd have one every year thereafter. So he'd have a total of seven properties with neutral to positive cash flow and a great equity sitting in them. Now, again, he could sit back on his laurels and just continue to do that for another 5 years if he decided to stay in his job. But just doing something is getting him further ahead. If Graham One really had a deadline of 5 years' time, he could really look at that deadline and go, you know what? I'm going to need to increase that $250,000 base by doing what Dimpner calls manufactured growth, because he needs to be doing a manufactured growth deal in order to top up that equity base to be able to, instead of buy one next year, buy two perhaps, or buy three, or buy whatever it needs to be. So each time he's replacing that $250,000 that he's putting in as the deposit on each on the properties, or the percentage that's gone into the deposit on each one of those properties. So even Graham One, who wants to be relatively passive, still has to do some form of manufactured growth in order to be able to continue to invest. Now, I've done this exercise with a number of people in all sorts of scenarios, some starting with very, very little, some starting with a lot more. And obviously, you know, the strategies are going to be a little bit different. But in each case, there's going to need to be that combination of neutral to positive cash flow as well as manufactured growth, just to be able to keep that momentum going. And that's for somebody who, we said, remember, Graham One is someone who wants to continue to work and earn his salary. And he's happy living off that salary. Okay, so now let's have a look at Graham Two. Graham Two is still the IT consultant who, remember I said, doesn't necessarily have to be your occupation. He still earns $80,000 and you may earn more than that or less than that. But Graham Two absolutely hates his job. All he wants to do is quit work and start doing something else. I don't know. Maybe become a potter. I did actually have an IT consultant once who absolutely hated his job and all he really wanted to do was be a potter. He wanted to make pots. Bit of a turnaround from being an IT consultant. This particular IT consultant, which is not Graham Two, he was on 150 grand a year and he was so heavily negatively geared. He had so many, three, four properties negatively cash flowed that he could not afford to give up his work as a IT consultant earning $150,000 a year to go and do what he really wanted to do. Now, for him, he actually had to go out and sell down, and a couple of them were even at a loss, some of his portfolio in order to be able to move forward, restructure, get some positive cash flow properties in there so that he could afford to go and cut salary and do what he really wanted to do, which wasn't as high paying as his IT job. But he was a lot healthier, he was a lot happier, and, you know, his life was totally different because he was doing what he absolutely loved. I think in the end he actually ended up becoming quite a very good potter, and, you know, his work is now, you know, quite well regarded, and I think he makes a reasonable kind of living from doing what he wants to do. I mean, I know he cut the city life and a lot of its expenses and things as well, and he moved to northern New South Wales, surprise, surprise, and he's living his dream, and the negative cash flow properties were actually killing him. Anyway, back to the story. Graham too hates his job, wants to give up his job as an IT consultant. So his criteria is that he wants it now, he wants it fast, and he just wants to make it happen as soon as possible. So Graham too needs to be concentrating on highly positive cash flow. He needs to be concentrating on properties that have a high level of income coming in, multiple income stream properties in high demand areas. So, you know, some of the mining towns, some of the regional towns will come into it. He'll be looking at certain styles of property where the property will have multiple income stream capacity, where he can turn it into multiple income stream capacity. But even with this, he's also going to need to have an element of manufactured growth. He still needs to be able to continue to invest. So his concentration will be on the income, not necessarily the growth that'll come out of the property. Because you think about it, for Graham too, who just wants to have an income stream to live on and can't stand his job and wants to quit as soon as possible, it really doesn't matter where the property is. It doesn't matter what his level of debt is, provided he's got enough income coming in to be able to cover all of his debt and give him enough to live on. It doesn't matter whether that property ever grows in value or not, because it's not a case of needing that growth to live off or pay down debt or any of those sort of things. It's really just the cash flow. That's all that's important to Graham too. So I ask you to think about, in your circumstance, are you Graham 1 or are you Graham 2? You know, I ran into a student of mine who, she reminded me of her story it was a number of years ago now, before she became my student. And she was talked into buying a number of negative cash flow properties. And the properties were all in one area. They were down on the Gold Coast, northern New South Wales strip. And they were all negative cash flow. And she was convinced by salespeople to buy all of these properties. And because some of them had gone up in value, and she had experienced some growth when that area was growing quite nicely, to just borrow against that growth and then live off her equity. That is the most dangerous strategy that you can possibly imagine, because what happens when that area doesn't grow? What happens when the banking system changes? What happens when banks just won't lend you money on the value of the property anymore? You know, all of this stuff starts to come into it where it's, oh my God, you know, this woman actually went from owning, I think, something like 14 or 18 properties, a lot of properties anyway, down to being almost declared bankrupt, because she was put in a scenario where the banks decided, well, we're not lending any more money. And what she was doing is she was borrowing the money against the equity on the properties to pay her interest bill, because they were that negatively cash flowed. Honestly, you know, that is the most dangerous thing that you can possibly do. So please don't fall into that trap. And also, make sure that you're concentrating on enough of the spread between the two. Yes, you want positive cash flow, but you still need to have growth. Now, whether you get that growth from buying in select areas from properties that will have a natural growth on them and will naturally grow in value, or whether you buy properties that you can do something to make it worth more. I mean, that's what I call a manufactured growth, or a chunk deal, if you like. You know, you do something to it and it makes a chunk of money for you. That's what I call the ability to be able to continue to invest. And you do need both. It's not one or the other. It genuinely is both. So, are you Graham 1 or are you Graham 2? You know, are you Graham 1 who is happy to continue to earn their income doing whatever they do now? And needs to be building up a portfolio so that in the future they're going to be able to have choices? Or are you Graham 2, who is absolutely jack of their job and wants to give up work as quickly as possible and do something else, whether it be run their property portfolio or go and be a volunteer in an orphanage somewhere, or, you know, whatever it is, whatever lights your fire, that's great, but at least you've got choices. Because, you know, life's too short not to have choices. Life's too short to be trapped in a situation or in a job where you feel like you have to do this. You know, being put in that scenario where my IT consultant absolutely hated his job and it was affecting his health, it was affecting everything about him, and all he wanted to do was, you know, follow his passion, and his passion was playing with clay, you know, little boy playing in the mud. And that's what he really wanted to do. And just the ability to be able to achieve what your life passion is such a rewarding thing. And it can be the smallest of changes that make the difference. I can tell you one of the changes that is going to make a massive difference to you is education. You know, the more you know, the more you can be inspired, the more you can put things together for yourself, the better you're going to be, the greater the accomplishment, and the quicker it's going to happen for you. Now, I've got three events coming up very, very shortly. I'm going to be doing three days for free for my students and their families and friends and you know, my big community out there that listens to all of my podcasts on iTunes. Please come along. Now, you need to register for these events. I've got one starting in Melbourne is where I start the first one. Now, that's starting on the 15th of June. So that's going to be the 15th, the 16th and the 17th of June, I'm going to be in Melbourne. Now, to find out about that event, just go to the www.iloverealestate.tv and jump on there and register. It's free. Come along, meet some of my students, meet some of my friends and associates who are coming along to talk to you as well. It's going to be a great event, and, you know, really be inspired and get out there and make it happen for yourself. Just think about, you know, are you a Graham 1 or are you a Graham 2? It doesn't really matter which you are. Both are going to benefit massively by coming along to that event in Melbourne. Now, that's the 15th, 16th and 17th I'm going to be in Melbourne. And then on the 22nd, the 23rd and the 24th, which is the following weekend, I'm actually going to be in Brisbane and do the same thing. So come along, and like I say, I'm dragging my students along so you can listen to their stories as well. Because I always find being inspired by other people's stories is the best motivation. It really makes you see just how quickly things can turn around for you when you've got the right people around you with the right scenarios and the right education behind you. And, you know, being in a group of like-minded individuals, it's like family, you know, and it's about creating that bigger support network to make it happen for yourself. And then, of course, the following weekend on the 29th, the 30th and the 1st of July, I'm going to be in Sydney. So I'm only doing the three events, and it's for all of my students and their families and friends, because I get so many of my students saying, oh, look, we want to get Aunt Mary to come along, and you know, I'd really love my nephew to listen to this, or I really want my kids to come, and you know, when are you doing something that they can come to? And this is your opportunity, guys. So come along. It's going to be in Melbourne first, then Brisbane, then Sydney, starting from the weekend, which is a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, starting the 15th. Then the following Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm going to be in Brisbane, and the following Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm going to be in Sydney. So bring everybody along. Come along. Have some fun. You know, share with everybody else out there. They're going to be great weekends and great inspiration for everybody. So if you want to register for those events, they are free. Come along and register on www.iloverealestate.tv and get your free tickets. And, you know, I hope to see all of you there. It's going to be so much fun. And I'm actually going to be doing this exercise of the Graham 1 and Graham 2 for you. I'm actually going to do it first up, so be there at 9 o'clock, or I think at registrations from 8 o'clock on the Friday, and I'm going to step you through exactly what Graham 1 and Graham 2 would do, what properties they would buy, why they would buy those properties, and they're real properties, real time, today, not 10 years ago, you know, this student did that, whatever. No, these are real-time deals, so that, you know, you can put yourself in those kind of scenarios and go, okay, well, what would I do? You know, how would I make that happen? How can I do that for me? And so it's going to be a fabulous event, a fabulous weekend, and I've invited some of my very special mates along to come and talk to you as well, who have amazing stories themselves, as well as amazing learnings for you all as well. So big weekend, fun weekend. It's all about the party. So come along and spend 3 days with me. It'll be fabulous. Love to meet all of you. Well, that's it from me this week, guys. Can't wait to meet all of you at the I Love Real Estate super conference that we're having. And as I said, I'm going to be in Melbourne, I'm going to be in Brisbane, and then I'm going to be in Sydney. So love to meet all of you guys that I know have been sending me all the emails and messages about how much you love the podcast that I've been doing. So great opportunity to bring your mates, bring your friends, bring everybody. It's one big party. So thanks, guys, and I'll be back again to talk to you again next week. And just remember, are you Graham 1 or are you Graham 2? Whichever one you are, you can make it happen really, really quickly. Now that's it for me, guys. Bye for now, and I'll catch you again next week.